All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. You know, you're stuck at home, inside. So you might as well get something done. And, you know, some of you guys out there are, you know, veterans of the computer home recording thing. And we also know that we got a lot of folks that listen that are kind of clueless. It's just because they just don't know. There's so many options out there. There's so many ways you can do it. It can be insanely complicated. You know, just, you know, you guys, some of these guys out there, their home studios are like set up like $1 million studios. You know, in Los Angeles or Nashville or whatever. And then there's the guy who's doing it in his bedroom, and both of them can get great results. My setup is somewhere in between. I think Carrie's is as well. So what we want to do on this week's call is we want to give you guys some options and discuss some free ways to do things, inexpensive ways to do things that you could still get a great sound and get your music recorded since you're probably not going out and playing gigs right now. So as usual, we have Joe Freeman and Kerry JK. Welcome, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Good.
So what is, Kerry, what would you say would be the first thing somebody should have? Do we want to start with equipment, or do we want to talk about software?
Well, if we are going to talk about equipment, the first thing I'll say is it's probably taken about 10 years to reach this point, but right now probably everybody has in their pocket something that they can get started with, and that's a cell phone. It used to be that the only thing that was any good at all for this was Apple. And it's still, Apple is probably the best to do for mobile music apps because the fixed architecture basically means, and this is one piece of terminology we're going to use, is called lag. And lag is the delay between sending an input to something and the actual moment when it sounds, when it's recorded.
Also known as latency. Also known as latency, right?
Latency, yeah. Okay. So latency, lag. Traditionally, Apple has been much less of a problem than that, and it's because they are fiercely protective of every Apple machine being the same. That is what it is. It's called fixed architecture, and that means that everyone who writes for Apple knows exactly what the machine's going to do, and there's nothing that's going to cause variables. PCs, on the other hand, are basically put together so that anyone can add anything they like, exactly the same as Android is. And that's why you will always get added latency on those platforms, because everything has to talk to itself. On PC, at least, it's got better over the years. And there's technologies like SEO which have done that to the point now where the difference really isn't as much as it was. On Android, on mobile, we're still not at Apple points yet for mobiles. But the point is, it is actually possible to get something done. So, if you do have an Apple mobile or an iPad, you can get started just by downloading. I think you get a free version of GarageBand on there. And even on Mac laptops, you get the free version there. You can do so much just with that for free. And it's probably one of the best free doors there is. Doors means digital audio workstation, by the way. And when you get up to something like Logic Pro Audio, which is basically the high-end version of GarageBand. And so many things are based on that. But coming back to the mobile options, there are a few, like something called Caustic that's on mobile platforms. It's a lot easier if you're programming electronic stuff, but we'll assume for the moment that you're going to be recording a bit more audio or trying to play things in real time. And one free option I am going to talk about is actually a website. I'm going to share a screen right now, and I'm going to show you this. Where are we going? Here, and share screen.
While Kerry's so getting... I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't realize you were going. Go ahead.
So what this is bandlab.com. And there's other websites available that do the same thing. But the great thing about Bandlab is it also has an app for Apple and for Android. And what you find you can do with this out and about, we're all stuck at home now, but out and about the house, maybe. You can add things to your projects from any location. You see here, I've got this on there. And it's set out similar to how GarageBand is. It will let you do different types of tracks. You can record audio just with your phone mic. You can import any other audio you may have recorded. There's also MIDI instruments you can use. They sort of work. They have pads, but again, latency will be a problem depending on your phone. And then you can program things. You can even plug a guitar in, although you will need an extra interface to do that. But if you go on Amazon, you can find those. So all of this means that then you are able to basically record parts at any point. And the great thing about this is it is communal. So what you can do is you can set it up with what's called bands. I've been using this for some of my students. And once you do that, anyone then can edit it as they go. And if people save at the same time, it just ends up on a save tree and you can then compare notes later. So that is... okay, that's annoying. Let's go back to here. If I go to one of these, I'll show you. This was a collaborative project that I did with some students. And if I open it in Mix Editor, you'll find, okay, that's, oh, I see, I have to use it on Chrome. You can see we're really well organized here. And the particular way I became well organized on this occasion was not using the correct browser. Yeah, BandLab. If you use BandLab on a PC, it has to be on Chrome.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's try that again. But at least then I can show you what it is.
Yeah, there's several interfaces for guitar players. The Behringer makes one that's inexpensive, IK Multimedia. There's the iRig, things like that. And it's pretty, we live in a really amazing time with so much can be done with just that little device in your pocket. When I was searching for a practice amp a couple of months ago, I ran across this technology, and it's really, really freaking amazing. Unbelievable what you can do. But you put your earbuds in and plug your guitar in, and it's like you're standing in front of a stack of Marshalls. It's pretty cool.
Sure, and we'll talk a bit more about those interfaces in a moment. What I will say, though, is don't let not having gear be an excuse to make you be doing something. Always be doing something. The fact that you can just download a free app and be scrapbooking. When I talk about scrapbooking a lot, and that just means jotting ideas down all the time, partly so that you've got things that you can later turn into songs, but also because then you're just getting into the process.
Right.
And you never know which ones are going to develop. I mean, but every
right. There's always old school too, guys. Like my, these all have some kind of voice recorder on them that you can hit record and speak into. And I've used that many times, like at band rehearsals, and I use it a lot for capturing ideas. I don't want to hook up, you know, necessarily be plugged into my whole recording thing before I sit down with the guitar. I'll be sitting here, I'll be coming up with stuff. Like, oh crap, I want to record this. Well, you know, you just click the record button. So you can, even for just doing that, you can do that quickly with, you know, that's very low tech.
So coming along with this now, here's the options that we have when we create a new track on the Door Project. Instruments, these are MIDI instruments. If you've got a MIDI keyboard connected to your computer.
Can you tell people what MIDI is real quick, Kerry?
MIDI is Musical Instrument Digital Interface. And it goes right back to the late 70s, early 80s, when they started coming up with a standard way for electronic instruments to talk to each other. And at that time, it was a lovely little 5-pin plug that you put into the back. By the way, it's really hard to actually buy those leads now if you try. They're technically out there, but that's because most MIDI activity now goes on through USB or is just programmed at source. But if I do show you, actually, I can show you the socket maybe. And it's actually on the back of this interface. That's right there.
Yeah. Yep, that's the old
MIDI socket.
Old school.
So it's a 5-pin socket, and that was for a long time the way we got synths and keyboards and programmable instruments to talk to each other. And it still is in a way. The same technology is still being used. It's just that so often now moves to USB. So if you've got a MIDI keyboard in there, and even if not, I think you can use your computer keyboard or anything like that, you can record MIDI parts of those instruments. The native ones for something like this won't sound spectacular, but again, they're great for scrapbooking, and what you can always do then is export the MIDI to something else, which we'll show you another time.
That's the great thing about MIDI is the sounds can just very easily be replaced with, you know, you can start out with, you know, little whatever your phone has, and that can information can be turned into, you know, very, you know, sophisticated samples that, you know, are indistinguishable from real instruments. Well, virtually indistinguishable from real instruments.
Yeah. Actually, this is something I will say. I mean, I should say this at this point. There is a difference between MIDI recording and audio recording. Audio recording is just recording audio as it's sound reproduction, just like onto a tape or onto a disc or a wax cylinder or whatever else. So once you record audio, that audio is there and you can cut it up and edit it, but you have recorded the actual sound that you heard. MIDI does not record any actual audio from a microphone. Instead, what it records is information, data, as numbers. And the usual comparison of a piano roll with the little holes on a sheet of paper that told the piano which notes to play. And what a MIDI keyboard or a synth will then do is take that information, feed it in there and know which notes to play where and when, and then convert it back into music. And that also means then that once you've recorded something to MIDI, you can assign it to any instrument you like and change your mind at any time. If you've recorded audio, if you record a guitar part on audio and then wish you'd use a different guitar, then you just have to record it again. You can't change that to a different guitar once you've recorded the audio. Going along here, so that's standard MIDI. In fact, I'll try and get one of each just to illustrate this. As you can see here, there is this is the computer keyboard that you can use. The latency is not too bad on that, considering we're going through the internet. Is that coming through? Can you hear that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We can hear you perfectly. I hear you. What were you doing, drumming or something?
That was just playing the piano part. In fact, if I do this, if I turn this on, I might be able to record a part. No. Okay, that was Latency City that time. But you can see what it's done is those little dots right there are MIDI information. That's told us where to put when. It's told the computer when I want to play those particular notes. I can change that back like that. And the other thing, as I say, with that, because it's information that it's just changing to that, if I change the instrument to something else, which I believe I do this way, I can put it onto just about any instrument that I want that way.
Harry, I'm still on the Chrome. When you're sharing your screen, I'm still on the Chrome thing. I'm not seeing what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
I know. Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, there's some weird technical stuff going on my end as well.
Okay, that's not working out. Let's go there. Here we are. Can you see it now?
Yeah, oh, there you are.
Yes.
All right, much
better.
That's
better. Right, good. So what I've recorded here, this is the MIDI information. So those little dots there, I'll do it again to illustrate the point. In fact, record it from there. Just do anything like that. So I'm getting a hell of a lot of latency here, but the point I'm making with that is once it's recorded to MIDI, I can then change it to any other MIDI instrument that I want. Let's go to here. So that is just data now that will then get sent to an instrument to play it. If I go to another one now, and next one I'm going to look at is the drum machine. Now, this drum machine is similar to what you would have found on things like the TB-808, or TD-808 rather, old drum machines from the 80s. And these are set up. Along here we've got the drums, kick drum, snare drum. This is great for electronic sounds, although some of these will have actual acoustic sounding ones too. And this will let you make up drum beats. Each of these different columns is a beat, and it's broken up into 16 beats. So this is basically a default one that's given us. And the other great thing about this, actually, is you can just start putting stuff in at random and it'll sound good, because it's always going to time it back to... And again, because it's MIDI, you can change it to different sounds anytime you want. So that's another way of entering MIDI, is when you've got grid input like this. And this is what's called a sequencer. And hardware sequencers that came around in the 80s would have basically let you do this many patterns, and you would then order it around there to build up your song. So if you see that, that's what that is. Let's add a new track. Now we're getting to the one that most people here are going to use, because this is when you actually record some audio. If I go right to the beginning here, I'm going to just try and record some audio parts to show you what happens. Here we are recording audio. Here we are recording audio. This song is shit. And so but you can see now what I've got there is a picture of the audio bit that we've just done. And then what you can do is layer up as many as you want on here. And once you've done that, you can start chopping them about, copying them to different places. You can auto loop them and add all sorts of effects there to make it work. So that means on this website now, we've got enough here to build up a recordable song, which we can then collaborate with other people on this platform. Which we can add to out and about using a phone app and basically do all sorts of stuff. It's still not as good as a standalone studio would be, but the point of this is exactly the sort of thing that you can get started with for free and get used to how things work.
There is there's a lot of options too. There's other apps you can do that will work with other apps. You know, you don't like the. I mean, even a lot of the stuff that comes built in on these platforms, a lot of the native sounds and stuff like that, really aren't too bad. So, like, you know, you can accomplish something with just this little thing in your pocket. Or it's really amazing. What would you start with? You would lay down. You would get a basic idea and put down like a drum groove or something, or would you do it?
Well, everyone works differently, and there's really not a right answer to this question. It's like when people say, do you write the music or the words first? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Some people work better. To be honest, I probably do start with words these days, because I will always be writing down little lyric fragments all the time. But depending on what it is, sometimes if I want to start with something musical, I will do. Especially with the album I'm working on at the moment, which is a bit more progressive. There's quite a few tracks on that where I did start with the music. So basically, in the end, the right way is whatever's right for the job at the hand, for the job you're doing. Sometimes you will get, most of these will have stock loops that you can import here.
Right. And the great thing about, the thing I always liked about loops is, while maybe they don't wind up, or maybe they do wind up on your finished product, they're a great way to kind of get you started. Yeah, you know, something I, you know, that I always really like doing is, you know, I can't think of anything, or I don't know where I want this to go or whatever. So I'll just start screwing around with loops. I'll, you know, play around with different loops and I'll play to them. And very often, especially if it's something that's completely outside of my genre, it will help to take me out of my old way, my, you know, the sort of repetitive ways. You know, we all fall into certain ways of doing things, certain sounds that we kind of always keep coming back to. And with sometimes playing around with loops, you can get inspired to do stuff that's totally different. So it's definitely something you want to incorporate.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I'm quite resistant to loops, to be honest. I think it's just not my cup of tea at all.
Yeah,
I think what I've often said is the day when I realized this, I think it was sometime in the mid 90s when I went into a music shop. And it was when they started really using these things on the synth, on the workstations at the time. And I pressed a key and it started triggering all these loops going off at once. And I basically had an instant song. And I thought, wow, I mean, like I could do that and have a song immediately and put it out there. And then I stopped and I thought about it. And I thought, how many people have come through that through here this week and pressed that key and written the exact same bloody song? And that's when I realized at that point, people who make music that way, go right ahead. If you can do something creative with that, more power to you. And a lot of people do, but it's not for me. I'm a traditional musician. I like to do things from scratch. When I do use loops, it's like you said, it's as a shortcut to something. It's like a placeholder for something that I want to do. The other thing is the chances are that those loops will be close to what I have in mind or nothing like it. But they'll never be exactly what I have in mind. And I want to be able to tweak it to make it exactly what I have in mind or make from scratch exactly what I have in mind. And I think a lot of people sometimes, when they rely on loops too much, they'll spend a lot of time convincing themselves that this thing they found in a box was what they had in mind all along, when in fact it's just something they settled for because it was close.
So we can get started with our cell phones, but say we want to dig a little deeper, Kerry. I mean, quite frankly, I'm, you know, the workspace that you have on your screen is relatively small. So if you're sitting there tapping out, you know, MIDI notes or whatever you're doing, that's a lot of people are going to find that kind of uncomfortable. Annoying. I know I would. What would be, let's move to something just slightly more sophisticated, but yet user-friendly.
Okay. So now this is what we use. And this is what we're recording on right now on Lou's computer. This is Reaper. So this is our door of choice. And this is a proper professional solution now. This does all the bells and whistles. I won't have time to show you all of it. But essentially, it boils down to the same thing. Depending what we add, we'll be recording either audio or MIDI. So audio, if it's going to be stuff, that's, if it's going to be audio, if it's going to be things like that. There we go. That's what I had before, and you can hear it coming through. If I disarm that, then it won't echo anymore. And MIDI for anything that I want to be able to change through. This is where virtual instruments come in. Virtual instruments are computer programs that basically synthesize or create instruments or effects. And they could be drums, they can be pianos, pretty much anything you want. Or you can have something like this, which is an entire MIDI bank that has pretty much every sound, pretty much a version of any sound you'd want. And you can go in and change them as you go. I'm just going to choose something at random. And if I get a virtual MIDI keyboard up, you can see what that sounds like. Now, I can play that in real time. I can also do what's called step time or programming by creating a part. Insert MIDI item.
This is kind of flying by really fast for a lot of folks. So what Kerry is doing, if I can sort of explain this a bit, especially for those of you that are just listening, there exists a possibility of the traditional sit down at your keyboard, musical keyboard, not necessarily, or your computer keyboard, and to play like you play. Sit down and, you know, pound out the notes. If you play, if you have some proficiency on the keyboard, and play, and then you can go in and tweak things around in post. You can actually, in with MIDI, you can move those notes around. If you don't, some people though don't like to work like that. Some people prefer to work in step time or step recording, where you look at the MIDI grid is laid out for you, and this can be done in very basic programs like the one we were looking at before on a cell phone. This is a way to work in GarageBand or many other very low cost or free desktop audio workstations, and you can just program the notes by just, you know, clicking with your computer keyboard or your mouse or whatever. So you don't necessarily need to do this. A lot of guys will program drums this way. I absolutely can't work this way. I just can't do it. It seems completely, for a couple of things. First of all, it takes all the fun out of actually playing music for me. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm doing computer programming. I feel like I'm doing computer programming and not playing music. So I would prefer to have some kind of instrument in my hand. I have a MIDI keyboard set up here as well for when I want to do stuff like that. And it even has pads for drum sounds but you can still play the drum sounds on the keyboard. I would prefer to get that rhythm going and then use the MIDI to maybe, oops, you know, I hit that snare one too many times and go back and chop that out or whatever. But at least get some kind of feeling as if I am playing an instrument. But you can do what Carrie's demonstrating right now is he is programming. He's got the keyboard is laid out on one side of the screen and the grid is on goes across horizontally. And you can just go through and plug in what notes you want to do. The way about working this way too, that I think is very cool, and I wish I could kind of get into it a little bit more, is the fact that it can actually liberate you from being too concerned about the notes. Now, let me explain what I mean by that is sometimes working on a grid will allow you to sort of just kind of be a little bit more free to just kind of put stuff in there and then play it back and see what it actually sounds like, as opposed to working on something being, you know, because sometimes getting playing notes or things that maybe chords that maybe you wouldn't put together or notes that are out of the scale or whatever, that can very often lead to creative choices you may not pick when it's, you know, your fingers are sitting on the piano keyboard. Can we hear something, Carrie?
Yeah, here's what I've just made up.
Because we can't hear your audio, bud. Looks cool, but I can't hear it.
I'm going to get some... I don't know if this is in tune enough to do this, but I could then show how I might then decide to record some guitar parts on this.
Well, because we can't hear your audio. I can see it I can see it laid out on the grid.
You can't hear that.
No, we can't hear it. Looks cool.
Okay, that's a problem. Well, in that case, it doesn't matter if I make it sound terrible. Then at least you can see it. What I'm going to show you though at this point, and I'm going to see if I can stop that from. How do I stop this? Recently, there we go. So yeah, so recently they changed it so that everything's in a different place as they do. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to record some audio here. Now I can record it straight like this, and it won't be instantaneous because I'm using a different kind of driver. What happened there? This, by the way, this is something that I should have pointed out. These red circles here, if that's lit up red, it means the track is armed, which means it's going to record onto any of these. If you turn it off, it's not
armed. Basically, guys, let me explain this to you. How these things are laid out is there are buttons, just like you would find in an old school recording machine, play, pause, stop, forward, backwards, and record. And you simply hit the record button and start. That's basically in the most easiest to use software. That's how it works. So don't get too afraid of it. And the grid laying across the side of the screen allows you to see like how much input you have. The larger the wave is, the hotter the signal that's coming in. So there's a visual aspect to it that is really nice, and a lot of that that people didn't have at one time. So it's easier to monitor what you're doing in terms of editing, stopping what you're doing, recording in pieces at a time. This is another thing that that, you know, even just recording on a mobile device is you can free yourself from doing everything linearly by, you know, getting different ideas, recording just those sections, playing around with those sections, and then moving them around and pasting them around to see what you like, what's going to work. And then if you do want a more of an organic feel for your final version, you can learn what you did, figure out your arrangement, then learn it and perform it that way all at once, or still do it in steps if you like. So there's no need to be perfect, like the first time through or anything on this. There are a lot of great apps as well that will work, that you can download and will work natively, that are very inexpensive. I'm looking at, GarageBand comes with any Apple computer that you buy, but you know, you can, you know, if you are working on Android, there are other things. If you just go to your Play Store and look for it, a lot of people like to work this way. I think that the Surface is too limiting for me, and I want to do something with something that, you know, I have a little bit more ability to get in there with my hands and play, etc. Yeah. So what kind of, equipment, let's say, you know, look, okay, it's great. Yeah, I can just turn my cell phone on, la, 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 press some buttons and make some cute noises. But what if, you know, no, I'm going to do this for real. I'm going to get.
Okay. So now we finished scrapbooking. Right. Well, first of all, you need an audio interface. There's various ones available right here. I'm using this one here, which I showed you earlier with the, which I showed you earlier with the MIDI. And this is a simple one. It's got two inputs here. You do need to be aware of, there's a button here that's marked Phantom Power. Now that's for something particular, which I'm going to tell you about in a moment. But what it will do is it will give you two sockets for plugs like this, which are called XLR, and plugs like this, which we call quarter-inch jacks. Sometimes you'll get a headphone jack.
It's just
well.
Like, excuse me, quarter-inch jack is just like a typical kind of guitar cable, guys. And
that's right,
XLR
yeah.
is what you typically think of as a microphone cable.
Yeah.
Just to keep.
So those are the two basics you'll get.
Yeah.
And the audio interface will then let you get those into your computer. That will convert this into audio signals, which you can then record, and it will do it a bit better than if you just plugged it in with a little cable into your laptop. So this is as simple as they go. Some of them are full-on mixers. Some of them will let you do multiple tracks at once. Some of them will only let you do one. But a lot of them, like this one, will do two tracks at once, which means you can either do it stereo as a left and a right, or you can do it as two monos. Now, for coffee shop singer-songwriters, this is basically going to be your voice and your guitar. So right away, you can just record two parts there and then mix them separately into this. That's where you can add effects, chop them up, do whatever you need to do. Getting back to the next thing now, obviously, if you're going to be singing or doing anything like that, you are also going to need a microphone. Now, there's two types here. I'm going to stop the share here so we can talk. They are called dynamic and condenser. Now, Blue, I believe you're using a dynamic there.
Yeah, this looks like a dynamic microphone. It is actually a condenser microphone.
Okay, well, what a dynamic mic, basically what this is, the difference between powered and unpowered. So a dynamic microphone is like an SM58. It's the thing you would just plug into an amplifier and you just go. And it's great for live work. and it's direct, and nothing really goes wrong. But once you're recording at home, and if there we go, that's what messes this it right now. That right there is a dynamic microphone, and as you can see, that's been that's got some war stories to tell.
Yes.
What you really want to be doing for a home recording, though, to get better quality, is partly what Lou has and also what I have here, which is a condenser. And a condenser mic is the one that needs to be powered. Now, that little button that I mentioned before that says phantom power, or 48V, which is 48 volts, phantom power sends a lovely little charge of 48 volts through this lead into this microphone to power it. Now, that means that if you send that to a dynamic microphone, you have just electrified your microphone when it's not expecting it. So, at best, it will do it no good. At medium best, it will fry it. At worst, it'll turn it into a death trap. So be very wary of what you do with phantom power. Don't be sending it to things that don't need power. But what does need power is this condenser microphone.
Right.
It means that all the workings in there now are electrified, and it will pick up so much more. Earlier on, when we got birdsong, it was because this was picking it all the birdsong that's out of the window there, because it's that damn sensitive.
Right. Right. What you can do is you can be farther away from the microphone, get closer, and it allows you to get different sounds that could. I don't want to get too complicated on this. So, yeah. It'll be more. It's way more sensitive, and it does. It's very good for picking up the details of the voice. That's why you'll see, like most, you know, most audio professional audio recording is done with for vocals. Most, not all. Anthony Kiedis likes to sing through an SM57, but most guys, most artists will be singing through some kind of condenser microphone because it does pick up those nuances really, really well of the voice.
I mean, the other trick that some producers do is they'll set up an array of microphones, like giving a presidential address, and there'll be a condenser in the center, and then they'll have a dynamic just beyond or either side as
they'll
have the different types of signals.
Exactly.
That they can buy.
So they've got a great mic. That's run. They've got the interface. Now, the interfaces can be a lot of. There's crazy options. But basically, I think what carries. What do you get there, Kerry? Focusrite?
Yeah, that's the interface.
Basic. So, you know, typically you get a channel or two. You know, if you're recording at home, most people don't need a gazillion inputs because, you know, you're not doing live drums, you're not bringing an orchestra in. It is, you're probably going to be most recording one track at a time. So one or two inputs is totally fine for somebody to get started. And it's very cool to have that because it allows you to do audio things, live type audio things that you can't do inside the computer. So while all the computer stuff, the stuff inside the computer is cool for what that does, but if you want to have this other aspect of it too, so you can bring in the live. So if you play guitar or you sing or you play mandolin or whatever it is, this allows you to get that on to recording. It doesn't have to be fancy, and you don't have to spend a lot of money, and you don't even have to go to a music store. You can go to some place like Amazon and read reviews. And I wouldn't particularly tell anybody any certain brand, because I've used a bunch of different ones. And quite frankly, Kerry, tell me if this is the case. There used to be a whole thing about the interface, like, you know, about, you know, you have to have just the right interface. But it seems like now, because the recording and the software is so good, that, like, everybody can sound pretty good.
Yeah.
But you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Everybody can get... I mean, like, the technology has just leapt on in leaps and bounds, and certainly the accessibility of it, to the point where... You can spend your life trying to impress audiophiles and anoracs, but there's not really any need if all you want to do is get started. And the other thing is, the audiophiles and anoracs love to tell you shouldn't be doing it, because then they see it as competition. So it goes back to what I said with just using a cell phone. There is never use lack of gear as an excuse for not doing it. If you want to make music, you go ahead and make music.
Right.
And you will. And to be honest, here's the other thing as well. And some people wait until they've got just the right piece of gear, or feel they have to save up or throw money at it and get the very best gear there is out there. I will tell you this right now. If you can't make the best out of shit gear, You will not make the best out of good gear. So in some places, it's good for the soul and it's good for your art to just start out with whatever's available and then just figure out how to make it work, because that's how you learn your chops.
Right.
I'll tell you something else here. This microphone that I'm using right now, this is a Chinese piece of crap. I think I paid £20 for this about 5 years ago, and I've used it on every album I've recorded it since because I love it. I just happened to find that it had this warm sound. And I do have better microphones than this, but I keep coming back to using this just because out of total fluke, I found out that this microphone is actually pretty damn good. So even cheap condenser microphones can give you results.
You don't have to spend like a lot of money, guys. A small interface just to get the audio into the computer or mobile device, whatever you're using. Software that you are comfortable pissing around with. Okay, so don't, you know, Carrie and I've talked about this before. Reaper may not be the number, you know, the way to do it for you if you've never done it before. You know, unless you're insanely intuitive about it. I'm not telling you, it's free, so you might want to download it and look at some tutorials on YouTube. Maybe you'll find it really easy. Most people like a GarageBand type platform. It's like a kind of a paint by numbers, very easy to kind of move the tracks around and move the different sounds around. So don't get too caught up in this. You got to realize it too. Many people have said it's, the Beatles recorded Sgt. Pepper's on a 4-track. So, you already have better equipment than the Beatles did. So you can get started, right away. There's no way. So don't get in. I think the biggest problem with people is I think sometimes they get too caught up in making things too complicated too quickly. What I mean? So they think that they have to do all this and they've got to learn. Get something very basic. Start just that you can press that record button and start recording something. And then you can build on that as time goes by. The other aspect of this, so we've got a good mic, we have an interface that gets the sounds into the computer, we have the software to capture it. Now, the other thing I want to mention quickly, and because people will ask about this, and there's a lot of confusion about this, and I want Carrie to talk about it a little bit, is there are ways to process the sound once it's in the computer. And if you're playing through your guitar, you're processing the sound with distortion through your amp, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. But once you get into the computer, you're going to want to process the sound. So there are things like equalization, compression, reverb, echo, delay, things like that. And you can get lost with plugins. You can get so caught up in getting the latest plugins. Just like Carrie was saying, that people will tell you have to have this microphone or this interface. There are a lot of free and very low cost plugins. Carrie has turned me on to several that sound really, really good.
I've got a bunch of them here.
Yeah. Just real quick, what I mean by a plugin is, guys, is instead of having that effect, like, guitar players have effects for their guitars, pedals, or, rack mounted effects, or that external effects that you have, maybe you've seen, in studios, you can actually, they're software effects. That's essentially what this is, or software signal processing that plugs in, I'm making air quotes, with your recording software. And it sky's the limit, right, Carrie? There's
absolutely.
Like, anything you can imagine is there.
While echoes, you're talking reverbs, here, I don't know whatever. If you can see this. I'm just like loading up a whole bunch of like random things here. But all of these, I mean, you'll need to know what they are and what you're doing with them. But out of all of these, and this guitar part, I've just put on Quasar, which is an amp simulator. So what that does, it will add distortion in there to make my clean guitar sound like it's playing through an amp. That's a free version. They do ones that have all sorts of things that you can get. Reverb, that's to put it in a place and make it sound like something. Let's say this is when we start getting into higher end techniques that you can then spend your lifetime figuring out.
Right. That's why I don't want people to get lost and they're caught up in it and it's fun to play with, but I don't want people to feel like they've got to have the latest, greatest, universal audio, pack in order to make their records sound good. There's a lot of people who are processing their stuff on inexpensive plugins, free plugins that sound absolutely great. If I can make a recommendation, is watch Spectre Sounds YouTube channel, because he's always coming up with telling you, like, you don't have to spend a ton of money. Here is a free thing or a super inexpensive thing that you can use to record with. And we should talk before we close today. What one last aspect is, we got a little late start, is the drums, because maybe you don't want, maybe you're, you know, I know Melissa's style is just primarily acoustic, but some, you know, but a lot of people are going to want some kind of drums or percussion on there. And there are programs, free ones and inexpensive ones, that allow you to do a couple of different things. You can work the way Carrie was showing us earlier in like a step time. You have the, you lay the grid out. You put, I want my snare here. I want my bass drum here. You know, repeat three times. Hit the crash. I want eighth notes on the hi-hat, and then you program that and it'll play it. The other way to work is the way that I like to work, is to tap it out on some kind of external device, however you like to do it. But there is software that'll do this for you, and there's free stuff. And the sounds guys are like decent, good enough for getting started. Right.
Can you see what I'm looking at now in terms of a drum kit? What this is, Seven State Drums, and actually this is one that Spectre Sounds has recommended as well. Others are available, but I've got to say, I've just bought the full version, which has got all of these. But the free version here is the best $0 you will ever spend for drums. The free version of this, that is just one kit, is what finally made me retire Easy Drummer, which is what I was using before. Stephen Slate is fantastic at recording drum sample loops. So here we've got some really detailed and realistic sounding drum kits. I mean, it still won't. There are grooves that you can put in there. Again, I'm sort of anti-loop, so I don't really use them. I prefer to make my own. But that will give you really realistic sounding drums. And the free kit that's on the free version of this is absolutely amazing. And then when you do sort of buy it, you get pretty much all other sorts of stuff too to use. So, so I'm going to mention that if we are going to recommend anything, look up SSD5. Or SSD5 Free is one of the best free drum plugins there is out there for acoustic drums.
So you can do, so you don't even, this is why you only need one or two inputs on your interface, guys, because you're not going to be sitting down, unless you are a drummer. So drummers, please don't get, I don't want to get hate mail from drummers, because drummers, but we're talking about folks that are recording for themselves. They don't have access to ability to record live drums. And recording live drums is a pain in the ass. I've done it. And to try to get a great drum sound, there's a lot of processing stuff that has to happen later on. And so using something like this is a total godsend. And I see, Carrie, you want to talk about bass real quick. We need to wrap up, but go ahead. Tell us about the bass.
Well, I'm just sort of like illustrating as we're going, really. But here you go. This is another one. Actually, this is something that was on Spectre. He mentioned that often, because so many bands come into a studio to record, and 9 times out of 10, the biggest loser in the band is the bass player, and he's never learned the songs. So,
he has a problem with bass players. Yeah,
he has a real problem with bass players, this guy, and it's one of his running jokes. So something, and it's like the whole Kiss thing with where they just get session musicians to play all their parts because they couldn't play them themselves. And they're fine live, but in the studio, they just choke. So what he'd often end up doing is he would use things like this, which is a MIDI bass. This wouldn't have been an option 5 years ago. They've only really got good enough in the last few years to record MIDI bass parts that sound realistic. And so they're getting all the nuances of what a bass guitar does. But somebody asked him why he'd be using MIDI bass and then insisting on using real drums. And what he says is just because he really likes the art of miking up and recording a proper drum kit. And he could really care less about miking up and recording a bass amp, especially when the bass player that comes through the door probably hasn't learnt the songs.
Okay. So what is the name of this software we're looking at?
This right here is Ample Base P Lite. And there's also, this really is unholy, the other thing, the other product they have. There's also an acoustic guitar simulator that's from the same people.
So you didn't even have to play anything, right, Kerry?
Yeah, you can just have the computer play all your instruments if you like.
what you were saying about the loops reminds me when I was a kid, music store, there was a hot thing, and this is how old I am, I apologize, but in the 70s, there was these companies putting out these organs. They were just organs. This was before computers or anything. And you would go to the music store and they would show you all the cool things, and this organ would play itself. You'd press a button and it would give you like a really cheesy drum beat, and you'd play three notes and it would loop that into like a bass line, and then you would play a couple of chords and it would make, and you know, and then it's like you didn't have to do anything. You could just, you know, hit these buttons and it would do this thing. Anybody who really played keyboards never used any of that stuff. They wanted to play. But that was the early version of done for you music that you didn't have to do yourself. You guys are looking at me like I have three heads, but that is, it was a whole thing.
Hey Lou.
And they would advertise it on TV and everything. Good.
My grandmother has one of those in her living room. Uh-huh. My 6-year-old, every time he goes over, plays it constantly.
But hey, I go back to, as I say, use whatever you have.
Right.
And find ways to make the best of whatever you have.
Exactly.
Because that is the only way that you develop your skills.
The other thing I want to encourage people to do is this, a mistake is don't be afraid of it. You're not going to break it. Just start, you know, just get in there and start playing around. Press all the buttons. You know, if when you get stuck on something, I do this all the time. Is I get I forgot how to do this. Okay, YouTube, and I type that into YouTube. Ah, that's how you do that. I remember now. So you don't. It's super easy to do. Don't be intimidated by it, but make music. These are some. We just wanted to show you guys that like there are some inexpensive, sometimes completely free ways to like create music, like and get it done. I don't know. Maybe you'll get so good at it that you never need anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are really good at like maximizing the very minimum, and they make amazing sounding records. So maybe you'll get to that point. But what most people do is they start out small. They start out with something like this. They get excited about it. They want to add to it. They learn, and then before you know it, you can be putting out a lot of music very, very easily and very quickly. So that's it, guys. Just a kind of primer on don't be afraid of. Melissa was saying, you know, she was a little confused on recording a couple weeks ago. So we wanted to do like just a very surface overview of what's available out there, and just encourage people, don't be afraid. Just start. You won't break it, right, Kerry?
Absolutely. And there's never just one way of doing anything. And never let anyone tell you there's just one way of doing anything.
Exactly. Exactly. So you may have your own way of doing it completely. You may, you know, so don't let anybody tell you. But looking at these, you watch YouTube. So there's a lot of great beginning intro to recording and things like that that will kind of get you started as well. We are going to return to a little bit more of, you know, what to do with the, once the song is recorded. And we're going to be giving you some music tips along the way as we go. We're trying to pick different topics so it isn't the same thing every time. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. If there's a specific question you have about recording or a specific topic you'd like to talk have us talk about, like should you start with the lyrics or should you start with the music or different things like that, we're gladly happy to do a call, a podcast on it. So let us know. Kerry JK, what's your website again?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
All right. And we had Joe Freeman who did chime in briefly today. Sorry, Joe. There wasn't, he was just sort of listening and taking it all in. Go ahead and Joe's a marketer. Notes so.
Yeah, I was taking notes because there's certain parts of it that, you know, it's sound. So there's certain parts of it that cross-reference to podcasting.
Correct.
And, you know, as far as trying things out and not being afraid to break it, my biggest accomplishments with software and technology and other things I've done, art in the past, martial arts, has always been, you know, you make a mistake and that mistake teaches you how to do something and eventually builds you up to where you're able to accomplish things that other people can't or haven't just because they didn't take the risk. So I wanted to go with that message.
One of the great things that sort of said about martial arts, I think like the Bushido people have said this, is one of the reasons why martial arts is great training for life is because bullshit hurts.
Okay.
When you get caught on bullshit, then it hurts.
So Joe, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah.
And give us a little.
So you can either go to Orange Tree Marketing and contact me directly if it's marketing related. But if you're a musician, Lou and I work together. So go to loulombardirocks.com and I monitor his chat bots and funnels and such. So I'll be able to get back to you if you just call me out and say you need my assistance.
All right, guys. My name is Lou Lombardi. You can go to loulombardirocks.com to find out more information about all the podcasts and everything we do all the time. Hey, cool talk, guys. Have a great week and jump in. Don't be afraid. Just start. Press all the buttons. Don't care. Just press. I heard a producer. I can't remember which guy it was. I don't know if it was Mutt Lang or one of the really famous Grammy Award winning producers. He says, "I don't care if I have to turn the knob all the way around backwards. If that's the way it sounds good, then that's the way it sounds good." Mm-hmm. So just make it sound good and don't worry about it. Guys, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.